because we do have other things to do later on after lunch. Find your way back, get the ushers up here, and Aaron up here, and all you children. Ready? You ready for kids' church? Hey, look at you, Martha. How can you pick up Hadassah? Okay.
You guys ready to roll?
You guys go down and have a good time, okay? And we'll do the same up here. Here comes the ushers, and all of you are rushing back to your seats. It's inspiring.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. Father, we thank you for being such a good, good Father. We thank you for your faithfulness, your mercy, your loving kindness, Lord. We thank you for being so near to us. Help us to know your presence, to know your steadfast nature, and give us the grace to walk in light of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Today's scripture reading is from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Again, Proverbs 2, 1 through 15. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways.
Thank you, Lord, for your word in Proverbs and throughout your word. But as we focus in this series on these Proverbs, we seek your wisdom, we seek even more than that, you, and we ask for your inspiration and direction. May our hearts today be open to hearing your voice through the words I say, through the words we read, through the thoughts that come into our minds. We pray those thoughts will be put there by your Holy Spirit, and that we will be wiser and more faithful as a result of having been here in our gathering of worship and dedication and hearing of the word and praying together today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love a few things in life, a lot of things in life. I can't even begin the whole list. I'd never get done. I love maps, for example. One time for a present, I got from my family a big map. I also love tools. And I brought today my first toolbox. When the kids were helping us build the great room and we were going through everything, they wanted to throw this away. I don't know why. I mean, it's a little beat up. I got it when I was just married to Joyce, and I got it at Sears. It's a Craftsman toolbox. I now have one that's bigger. The one I have now has three drawers, but I just couldn't part with this one. Even though right now it's empty, I did empty it, but all it had was a few loose screws and odds and ends in it. I don't use it regularly anymore. But I want you to notice something about it. This toolbox, you see right here? I don't know if you can see that from where you are. There was a plate there, like you put on a piece of wood that would be presented to somebody, a plaque. You know, this was an inscribed plate. Now, it's gotten lost over the years. It came off. You can see where the adhesive was. I'm hoping when I go through the basement, I'll find it. Maybe it's laying in there somewhere. But I was at the time part of the senior center in Millersville, and we were giving plaques to people, and I knew to go down to the trophy house that was down at the corner of Water and Orange. Remember that? It's now moved over to Prince Street. So I had a plaque inscribed, and it didn't say Stephen P. Cody. It said, "Commit your work to the Lord." Proverbs 16:3a. So whenever I would go to my toolbox, I would see that expression, "Commit your way to the Lord." And even now, after this plaque is gone, I still remember that what was inscribed there was, "Commit your work to the Lord." And so this was just a simple way of being reminded of these proverbs. The entire proverb in 16:3 reads like this: "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." Today, we're going to be focusing on what I'm calling being grounded in God. We talked about this already to a degree, and there's going to be some overlap as we go through Proverbs because a lot of these subjects are repeated and emphasized in different ways. We talked about the beginning of wisdom being the fear of the Lord and how that's very important. But as you think about my old toolbox, think about how important it is that we hide that word in our heart, that we might not sin against God. It's another word of wisdom from Scripture. And that the Jews were told right after they were given the Shema. If you were in Sunday school today, you heard N.T. Wright refer to the Hebrew Shema and to what he called monotheism, meaning we believe in one God. And that's repeated in different places in the Old Testament. But in Deuteronomy 6, it says the word Shema comes from hear, the word hear. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." And then after that, let's read on. You know how much we love context here. Let's go on. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That became the first commandment Jesus taught. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Hide the word in your heart. "You shall teach them diligently to your children." We looked at the children today. "And shall talk of them when you sit at your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates and on your toolbox." It's a good thing to put the Word of God in front of us. You can go online today and find the most beautiful pictures with God the Word of God spread across a mountain or a rural scene or any kind of picture. Just bringing the Word of God before us. So as we're looking at Proverbs, let's remember how valuable it is that we keep that Word before us. And I was able to remember, I think, through the years, that my work that I did with those tools needed to be committed to the Lord, and that His plans could be established in my life. Now, this Word that we're talking about is not a static, stagnant, rigid, legalistic set of rules. It's a living Word. It's a Word that relates us and helps us relate in different situations in life. It's not something we can put in a box. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us into the Word. We need to have inspiration. And I found something fairly interesting in Proverbs as I'm thinking about being grounded in God and how important these words are. There are two proverb verses, and they're side by side. They're found in Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5. And I want you to listen as I read the opening phrase first. You know how Proverbs are. They have one phrase followed by another. They're like parallel. And I'm going to read the first phrase of each of these two verses, these side-by-side verses in Proverbs 26, 4 and 5. Verse 4, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his foolishness. Which is it, Lord? Reading the whole thing. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes. But here we have what seems to be contradictory teachings right side by side, two verses in a row. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness. Answer a fool according to his foolishness. We have that in our lives too. You know, I've talked about proverbial sayings that we have in life. There are things that we treat proverbially that are not actually directly out of Proverbs. And here's a couple sayings that I thought about. One goes like this, birds of a feather flock together. We've all heard that. We've probably all also heard opposites attract. Well, which is it? Do birds of a feather flock together, or do opposites attract? When we choose a life mate, do we choose someone who is contrasting with our personality and interests and complement one another? Or do we choose someone who's like us? Hopefully, we choose someone God leads us to, whether they're like us or unlike us. Here's another couple of proverbs. He who hesitates is lost. And look before you leap. Hesitate before you leap. He who hesitates is lost. Which is it? So how do we solve this dilemma? By going back to what I just said. It's a living Word. It's not a static bunch of rules. In some situations, we need to look. In other situations, we need not to hesitate. In some situations, we need to flock together. In others, we need to celebrate the oppositeness of us and those we relate to. In some situations, we need to, as the psalm says, not answer a fool according to his foolishness. But in other situations, maybe we need to answer a fool according to his foolishness. You see, the Word of God is not static, or as I said, stagnant and dead and rigid. It's not simply rules. It's wise guidance. And wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit, who uses these proverbs that have been written down so that we can be guided in our lives by the proverbs. So God can actually use a scripture verse. I found this in my experience with scripture. It's like the old joke, the Bible, I've read it. The question isn't, have you read it? The question is, do you read it? It's not something that we read once, like a novel. Even today, we're finding that it's fun to watch movies repeatedly. We've got favorite movies in our family that we watch over and over again. We know the lines. We irritate one another because we repeat the lines before they get to them, because we know it so well. But it's almost, it needs to be that way with the Word of God. We let it get into our hearts. We read it over and over again. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. So we need to be letting the Holy Spirit speak to us in different ways at different times. And so one thing I've stopped doing, I used to go back and rerun messages in my first couple of years of ministry. I'd say, well, I already preached on that passage, so I'd look at what I preached before. I don't do that anymore. I just try to let God lead me in a fresh way today for what that word is saying. Not what he told me it meant 20 years ago or 30 years ago or even a year ago. Because we need the Holy Spirit to speak. And sometimes people will tell me that God told them something during the sermon, and I'll think to myself, I didn't say that. Oh, hopefully God said it. And so we can read, I find I can read a passage, and in one day it'll say one thing to me, another day it'll say something else, because it is a living word. And that's why it needs to be grounded in the living God. It can't be grounded in our intellectual understanding or our study of it. It needs to be grounded in our relationship with the living God who inspires us through that word and who can take what may seem contradictory, like the verses I just read out of Proverbs 26, and show us that in different situations, it can be applied differently as God leads us. And it needs to be God leading us, not us leading ourselves. So if we get now to the study, to the left, to the chapter we're reading, this section today that I had Aaron read for you comes out of Proverbs 2, and you might remember, or you may not if you weren't here, or even if you were, you might not remember, because I don't remember things. But the actual sayings of Moses, of Solomon, the Proverbs of Solomon begin with chapter 10. The first nine chapters are like narrative that talk about the value of the Proverbs. And so the lesson today comes out of that section. We're going to look at three chapters out of that section today, 2, 3, and 8. Well, 2, I think, really gets at the theme I've identified, being grounded in God. And by the way, I actually told a group of pastors this week to pray for me because I have so many words I want to read to you out of Proverbs, because words have power. The Word of God has power. So I'm going to ask for your indulgence and patience today as I read these words and your openness to letting God speak to you through these words. I have a lot of Proverbs I want to read, and I'm going to pray that these words speak to you. They may speak to you differently than I'm interpreting them and declaring them through preaching. So I'll be reading a lot of the Proverbs today. And you might even want to, if you have note paper on your bulletin somewhere, back of the prayer sheet would be a good place. You might want to jot down the Proverbs sections I'm reading and go back and read them again this week and see what they say to you. The first I'm reading is the lesson, Proverbs 2, 1 through 15. And I'm going to just highlight how this tells us we need to be grounded in God. There's so many phrases here that do that, and I'm going to kind of emphatically read them. My son, if you will receive my words, not someone else's words, my words, and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek after her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will. Now, this, of course, was Solomon, and he's saying, listen to my words, but he's saying they're grounded in God, because he goes on to say, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. And we already saw that's the beginning of wisdom. And discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. For his mouth, out of his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. He, God, stores up sound wisdom for the upright. God is a shield to those who walk with integrity. Guarding the paths of justice, God preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be present to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. And then he compares it in the final verses of the section we read to evil. And he says that it will deliver you from the way of evil. And he elaborates on what that way is. The man who speaks perverse things, those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, and whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. You want to avoid that. So you want to be grounded in God, or there's the danger of being grounded in evil. And it's interesting to me how this parallels one of the Psalms. You know, the Psalms are part of the books of wisdom. The five books of wisdom are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs. And here in Psalm 37, it says, "Do not." This is, I think, very parallel to what we just read. "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And we've talked about this psalm, how that doesn't mean he gives us what we desire. He gives us the desires to desire the right thing. Commit, and here's a quote right from the psalm, the Proverbs 16 that I put in my toolbox. "Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your work to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes." Right now, it's really difficult in our political climate, and with terror in the world, and with what we're facing in this world, to figure out what we're going to do with the evil all around us. The Word of God tells us, turn to the Lord. I was telling Renee and David Queen today, I'm needing to change the signboard, and I think on one side I need to put, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are not of this world. We are of another kingdom. Our hope is in God, not in this world, not in the outcome of an election, not in the morality of our leaders. The hope of Israel was not in Caesar. It was in God." And that's where we need to find our hope. And yet we live in a world that vexes us, where evil is abounding in many ways, so it seems. But righteousness is also being manifested, and we need to be encouraged about that. I don't know if the praise team selected this song on purpose, but this week I made sure I'd get the right overhead. It was the last one, because last week I couldn't find the one I was thinking about. But this song that we ended with today, Beautiful Things, what I'd like to do is think about this God that we're grounded in terms of ground. Grounded in God. He formed us out of the ground in creation. And he redeemed the earth. And so as we look at this fallen world, we can have hope in God because he is the maker of this world. And he made us out of this ground which fell into sin. And it became a toil after sin for Adam to work the ground. Before sin, he was having a great old time in the Garden of Eden, tilling the ground. Afterwards, it was by the sweat of his brow that he would do that. And Adam and Eve became the first family, and it was joyful to think of bearing a child, and yet that great joy became a painful experience. So this song, I'm going to read from Proverbs 8 right now, on this theme, and in those verses in the beginning of Proverbs 8, or it's not the beginning, it starts in 22, but there's many references to the fact that God created, and that the God that we're grounded in is the God who is concerned about the ground. And I love this praise song. I don't know if you guys picked this thinking of the theme today or not. You probably did. Did you? You guys sometimes do that. You see the title. And this really says some about the earth. All this earth. This is beautiful things. What a beautiful song. It talks about all this pain, but then says, all this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. Out of the dust, that's where we were created. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things of us. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make me new. You are making me new. See, the Creator is recreating. This Creator God is recreating even after the ground fell into sin. Well, as I read now from Proverbs 8, which is still in that first 9-chapter introductory section, it's different in the sense that it's not a bunch of those parallel couplets like most of the Proverbs are in 10 and after. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Now, this is, by the way, the personification of wisdom. And so we're talking about wisdom here. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. Doesn't this sound familiar? Was it John who said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, the Word being Jesus. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Here in Proverbs 8, we have a parallel to that. We're talking about the wisdom of God. I'll read on. And the word earth occurs 4 times in these verses. When there were no depths, and that's a reference to the seas, the water, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. See, God existed, pre-existed His created beings and created creation, and His wisdom pre-existed with Him. While He had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when He established the heavens, I was there. When He inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when He set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress His command, when He marked out all the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the world, His earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Wisdom was with God as a character quality before He created the world. And so when we're being asked to ground our life in God, we're being asked here to ground our life in the God who pre-existed ground itself. He's the God who made the ground, and He remakes the ground, and He made us out of ground. I don't think it's any accident that He took this created earth, added water, and formed man in His image in a Garden of Eden that was a delightful, sinless place until man was created and woman, and they turned from God and chose their own way and corrupted the ground. But now, God has redeemed it. He's redeemed the earth. He's redeemed us. Proverbs 3 later, no, back in Proverbs 3 it says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up, separated, and the skies drip with dew. See, God is the creator, and of course it's in him that we're going to find our hope. And when we look to him as creator, we see some things that we need to pay attention to. One is that we see that God created everything, and he loves everyone, and it's too easy for us to forget that. And I think we find that in Proverbs 17 and in 22, where he says in 17, "The one who mocks the poor insults his maker." How many times did Jesus call us to care for the poor? "And one who rejoices over disaster will not go unpunished." And then in Proverbs 22:2, "The rich," and this is one of the first the problems of the end of Solomon's section. He ended in 22, the direct Proverbs of Solomon. This one says, "The rich and the poor have this in common, the Lord made them both." So as we think about being grounded in God, we also get insights about how we live. And we realize that we need to love everyone, whether they're lovable or not, because they were created by God. They may have turned in sin as we once did, and they may still be in sin, but God calls us to love. It says, "Every word of God is pure." This is Proverbs 30. By the way, I should be giving you these references. I read Proverbs 17:5, and I've read Proverbs 22:2. Now I'm reading 30:5-6. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Don't add to his words, or he will rebuke you, and you will be proved a liar." The book of Revelation says we should not add to God's revelation. We shouldn't add to his words. He's the creator. We just interpret those words. We write them on our walls, our hearts, and our toolboxes, and we remember them. We let God speak to us through them because he's the creator, and we need to listen to him, be grounded in him. Here's a few other psalms or proverbs. I told you we'd be in chapters 2, 3, and 8. We were in 2 and 8. Now I'm going to go back to 3. And these are just more verses. This is 3, 1 to 12 that I think are making a similar point. You also remember my illustration last week. I had a stack of files and they were laying flat and a bunch standing up. And I demonstrated how we're not going to go through Proverbs from beginning to end trying to find things. We're going to go and look, okay, where's the part about being grounded in God? And so we'll go to the back of the drawer, in the middle of the drawer, in the front of the drawer. And that's what we're doing here. And I'm asking God to lead me in finding these themes and how these things relate to one another. So Proverbs 3, 1 to 12, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you." See, be grounded in God. "Bind them around your neck." This is similar to the Deuteronomy passage. "Write them on tablets of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." And then here's that verse, these verses I read from Proverbs 3 last week, they're so well known and inscribed on many plaques and many graduation cards. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And then I noted last week, as I'm going to do again today, that we need to read this in context and look at what it says as we continue in chapter 3. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth." See, there's another practical piece of advice. We need to realize that all of our wealth belongs to God. It's not that we just set aside a tenth as a tithe unto the Lord of our increase. It all belongs to him. So we need to think not only what we might put in the plate or give to the missions we support, but what are we doing with what we keep and use to support ourselves? That needs to honor God too. These are practical things that we're hearing. "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce." That's a reference to the tithe. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects his son in whom he delights. And that's right in Hebrews 12, if you read that. There's a parallel to that about not despising the discipline of God. And here's some other ones. The one I read already from the toolbox, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established, 16:3. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of death. See, being grounded in God means not being grounded in man. And it's real easy to get grounded in man. Proverbs 18:10, and I asked for the praise team to sing this song. The song was based on this, the first one we sang today. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. That's Proverbs 18:10. We sang that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. And then Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man is a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord is protected. That word protected means raised high. That's the difference than the snare. The snare is caught low. We're raised high in the Lord. And then Proverbs 30 verse 5. Every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. That word tested means to be refined like metal. To be refined. I remember in metal shop, we used to make hammers and punches, and we'd turn the metal on a lathe, but then it was soft. And the way we got it hard was we heated it up till it got real red and then stuck it in water, and that would harden the metal. Our trust in God needs to be refined like metal and be strengthened so that we're grounded in him. Now, the last series of verses I want to look at and I want to conclude with today have to do with this, that if we're grounded in God and if we're grounded in his word, it's like the difference between seeing and being blind or hearing and being deaf. Because the Spirit opens our ears and the Spirit opens our eyes. And as we get grounded in God, we see things differently. Have you ever been frustrated when you yourself have failed to see something that later someone or God points out to you and you say, oh, how could I have missed that? Look what God was doing. I didn't even see it. Well, we help each other. God's Spirit speaks to us. But the difference here between being grounded in God or grounded in man results in either being blind or seeing, being deaf or hearing. And it's interesting to me that in Proverbs 28, we have some verses that speak to this. It says here, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand everything. It doesn't refer in that verse. That's Proverbs 28:5. That's just they're making the contrast between evil and man and God and righteousness. But where I want to look is not in Proverbs, it's in Isaiah. Remember Isaiah's vision in the temple where he said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. We have songs about that. It's a beautiful passage in Isaiah 6. And it ended by God saying, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. It's very interesting what follows that. Right after, you guys have really gotten used to me looking at Scripture in its context, because that's where I find some of the most exciting insights. I mean, we could sit all day getting excited that Isaiah had that vision and he said, send me. But to what did God send him? It's interesting to read it. And God replied, when Isaiah said, "Send me," and God replied saying, "Go, say to these people." Who are these people? The Israelites. Say to them what? Now, as you hear this, it's not going to sound like something you expect. Keep listening, but do not understand. Keep looking, but do not perceive. Dull the minds of these people. Deafen their ears and blind their eyes, Isaiah. Otherwise, what? Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their minds, turn back, and be healed. Then I said, "Until when, Lord?" And he replied, "Until cities lie in ruins without inhabitants, houses are without people, the land is ruined and desolate, and the Lord drives the people far away, leaving great emptiness in the land." God later in Isaiah, during his time, judged Israel through the exile. They were driven from their land because they didn't hear and see with God's vision. And he was saying that, this is so hard to grasp, I think, initially. He was saying to them, don't let the people hear on their own. Wait till they hear from me. And what they're going to hear from me is going to initially be judgment. And maybe then they'll pay attention. Don't let them off easy. Don't let them listen and hear. Don't let them see until they actually see me. And it says, though a tenth will remain in the land, it will be burned again, like the terebinth or the oak, which leaves a stump when felled. The holy seed is the stump. Israel became a remnant. Israel lost their relationship with God, and it was only restored through the new covenant. Israel was unfaithful. They had hardened hearts, they were deaf, and they were spiritually blind. And Jesus picked up the same theme in Matthew 13. And the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" I think the parables are very similar to the Proverbs. They're stories that weren't real stories. They were stories to make a point, to teach something, like the wisdom of Proverbs. And Jesus had just told the parable of the sower. And the disciples said, "Why do you talk to the people this way?" It's the same reason we just saw in Isaiah's vision and what was called to do. Let me read on. Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." See, the only way to see is by being grounded in God. So if we're not grounded in God, we're going to be deaf and blind spiritually. "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see. And while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. In their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says," and Jesus here quoted from Isaiah 6, "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return." See, if they could hear God, they could return. And some did. Some Israelites returned to God. Paul was an Israelite who returned to God after a vision, as we talked about in Sunday school, on the road to Damascus. But he was resisting God before that. He was as blind as all the other Jews were. And then it says, "And I would heal them." And then Jesus speaks to these believing disciples, and this is what he's saying to us, and this is where we're going to end today. What he says to them, he's saying to us. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Why are our eyes opened and our ears opened? Because Jesus has come into our hearts and his Holy Spirit, and we discern and see spiritual things. And that's only going to continue if we remain grounded in God, the Creator. And if we honor God with our wealth, and if we care for the poor, and all the things Jesus taught us, and go all the way back to the wisdom of Solomon. Father, I just thank you that you have called us to be people who can see, people who can hear. And Lord, help us to never try to see in human ways or hear in human ways, but always to find in you the truth and the vision and the wisdom and the inspiration and the guidance. Lord, thank you that you call us to see with your eyes and to hear with your ears and to be grounded in you, not ourselves and not the evil of this world. We pray that we can be a light to this darkened world. In your name, and in your truth, and in your spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, how fitting it is to have a message on being grounded in God on the heels of dedicating a child with the name Tesher Steadfast. Scripture exhorts us many times to be steadfast, to be immovable in our faith. And I think we can because God is the rock. If we're tied to him, if we're anchored to him, we can be grounded in a life, in a world that is in very much upheaval and chaos at times. So we hold to that. And we need that as people. I think of James, a very practical letter. He starts out his letter talking about being steadfast. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And he goes on, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. And a few verses later, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Also, I think of John 15, in what's known as Jesus' farewell discourse before the cross, and he talks about abiding in him, and I think that's it really ties into being grounded. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. I remind you as we go that you're invited to a cookies and milk reception celebrating Tesher Steadfast McElhaney and their families. So please stop by on your way down. And Lord, I just pray that you nourish us both with these goodies and with one another, and most of all with your presence. In Jesus' name. Please stand as we're dismissed. These words Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica. He said, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them, ground them in every good work and word. Go in peace, and the God of peace go with you.